Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, welcome to Your Family Dog. I'm Colleen Pilar, and I'm here with Julie Fudge-Smith. And dog trainers get asked one question so often, and it's almost impossible for us to answer. And the question is, what kind of dog should I get? And there's an implication that we can just pick off of a list the best dog for you and your family. But really, we really need to examine your family and your family's lifestyle to find the right dog for you. And that's talking more about personality and temperament than breed. So it's a really challenging question. Do you get asked that a lot, Julie?
I do. I get asked that. That, and in conjunction with that is, you know, what I sometimes we'll get the specific, what's the best dog for families? And then what's your favorite dog? What's your favorite breed? Would you recommend that for families? And so it's really hard. It's the kind of question that I think I understand why people ask it, but I think,
totally understand why they ask, but it's hard.
It is really hard. And I think sometimes too, when you begin to talk to them and explain to them how it is that you are looking at dogs, they do take the step back and go, oh, this is a much bigger question than just, do I get a Lab or a Golden? And I have an example. I had someone who called me and asked me to help her find a dog for her family. And she had 2 9-year-olds, twin, a boy and a girl, very bright, very responsible couple of kids. I liked them very, very much. They weren't, they were the type of kids I really felt would be, they were at the right age. They were highly motivated. And she wanted a smallish sort of dog and was looking at golden doodles or labradoodles. And she found a miniature one, a litter, and there were 2 left. And she said, would you go with us to assess them? I said, I'd be happy to. So daughter Emma and I went and took a look at these 2 puppies. Now, she really liked one of them because his looks, he was absolutely adorable. He had just the perfect color. He was kind of blonde with a little hint of brown, and he was very curly, and his face was just perfect, and he was absolutely adorable. The little girl dog was scruffier. She had sort of stiff hair here and curly hair there, and her nose was probably a little bit too long, and she was very scruffy looking. But as we began to evaluate them, Emma and I fell head over heels for the little girl dog. She was exactly what I was looking for a family dog. When the kids sat down, she went, oh, peepos, kids! And she ran over and jumped in their laps and licked their faces and then just leaned into them. And then when they started playing, they threw a ball and she'd run and get the ball and then she'd go, oh, peepos! And she'd run back to the ball with them and drop it in their lap. And when they gave her a treat, she settled in right next to them. I think I need to eat this treat right next to you. That's just so great. And they'd pet her and she'd lean into them. Whereas the little boy dog, and this, we're in the little, we're in their house. So this is not a new surrounding for this dog. But the little boy dog was much more interested in the surroundings, in sniffing the surroundings. And when we gave him a treat, he said, you know, later, I'm over here. And when you petted him, he didn't pull away. He'd let you pet him, but then he'd go, and walk away. Didn't lean in for more. So his social drive was not what I would have wanted with kids. He was a little bit more independent, not as interested in people. And when we played fetch, he took the ball and went into the other room. So he wasn't a bad dog. I'm not saying he's a bad dog, but what I'm saying is that the little girl dog was absolutely everything I look for in a family dog. And I adored her, as did Emma. And we kept trying to encourage her, really, this is the dog you want. This is the dog you really want. She goes, oh, but I just don't know about the looks. And we're like, no, seriously, this is the dog you really. And I almost was like thinking to myself, is there some way, can I threaten to break her arm or something to get her to take this dog? But she
with
finally...
With a little makeup and hairstyling, this dog will be a model.
Yeah, absolutely, you know? It's just a puppy. She may grow in to be just as stunning in her looks. But she finally decided she couldn't really get...
She's in her gangly stage. Give her a moment.
That's right. What did you look like when you were 4 months old? You know, So anyway, as it turned out, she decided, she took my advice and she did not take the little boy. She did not take our advice and take the little girl. And Emma and I both felt like, boy, if we'd had the $1,800 they wanted for this dog, we would have plunked it right down. But the other thing is, we already had three dogs, and I was not going to add another dog into our mix. But boy, I was so tempted to sort of tuck her in my coat and run out the door.
Right.
She did eventually get a dog that was very nice for her family. Another little golden doodle who was very cute and a very nice little dog. Not quite the temperament of the little girl, but a nice dog. Mm-hmm. But.
And it's a shame how much it is a beauty contest for dogs, because it really, and I understand why. I mean, I'm certainly attracted to the cuteness of dogs too, but it really doesn't have anything to do with what a dog looks like, because you are going to fall in love with a nice dog.
Absolutely.
Regardless of what they look like. I mean, ask anyone with a funny looking dog how cute their dog is, and they will assure you that that is a really cute dog. And that's because we love their personalities and their temperament. And so if people could be a little bit more objective, mm-hmm. that can help. And also really recognizing what's right for our family. Like, if we can really try hard to look at behavior. So when we can talk about the behavior of this little girl dog, she was coming over, she was social, she wanted to be with, she was having good interaction with the children. That is worth so much.
It's so
much more valuable than having the perfect color or the right coat or the right length of your nose or a tail that doesn't curl in a funny way. And those are sometimes the characteristics that trip us up. We're like, I don't really like that spot near his eye. It's sort of asymmetrical. Uh-huh. Yeah, it is. That's asymmetrical. That is an amazing dog with an asymmetrical spot near his eye. Maybe we should just ignore that. So I think sometimes about music competitions where they have the, they have them audition behind a screen so that you're not in any way biased by the appearance of the musician or how they move.
Oh, very clever. Yes.
Yes. And I don't have any idea how to replicate that in the dog world. But if we could, you know, I don't know, see on a computer screen where a cartoon dog was interacting with people. Look, it's a blue shape of a dog, and it comes near your children, and it curls up near your children, and it, you know, wants to hang out. We might be better able to then meet, you know, when we do the big reveal. And who mm-hmm. is that blue dog? Oh, look, it's the little girl with the too long nose. Yay, she's so great. Because we can't be objective.
You remember the dating game where they had the bachelorette and mm-hmm. then they had the three bachelors and she had to ask them questions? So yeah. Maybe what we do is we have the client behind a screen and then you have a trainer with, or three trainers, each with a dog, right?
Behind driving their dog.
That's right.
This little puppy is doing this.
That's right. Or even have the trainer behind the screen, you know, acknowledging, you know, the three dogs. But mm-hmm. anyway, you're right. I don't think there's any way to do that. But the idea of taking out the visual in order to mm-hmm. concentrate on the underlying fundamental qualities of this dog and how it's going to mesh with your family is really what you have to strive to do. Because no matter right. how ugly that dog may be, you're going to love him if he loves your kids.
Right. And that has a lot to do with like how the dog is going to behave on a day-to-day basis. You know, what's the dog's energy level like? Mm-hmm. What is the dog like to do? How much exercise does this dog need? How much does this dog need to chew? So I understand why people always want to ask the question. I get it. But when that's what they want, I often tell them to, you know, describe behaviorally your perfect dog. Talk to your local shelter or rescue and say, this is what I think would be a great dog for our family. Don't give them a breed. Don't give them a size. Don't give them, you know, tell them behaviorally what would be perfect for your family, and then agree that you will look at anything they bring out. So if you say, I want a dog who will cuddle up with me and watch TV, and someone walks in the room with a Great Dane, that might be a dog who's going to cuddle up with you and watch TV. But in your head, you're like, that's not what I was envisioning on my couch. Be willing to explore is my big advice. Because sometimes these people who are spending time with the dogs can see the match that we can't see because we're so busy looking at the appearance. And of mm-hmm. course we look at the appearance. Of course we do. But it's the match that matters.
Yes, absolutely. And especially if you can, you're in a situation where it would be possible for you to have a range of size in dogs. I mean, if you were in a tiny mm-hmm. little apartment and a Great Dane's just not going to work, I get that. There sometimes are size requirements on a dog. But especially if you're in a position where you can say, yeah, size doesn't really matter. It's the quality of the dog, then I think that that's a terrific way to do it, to think in terms of behavior. And if they have a hard time trying to describe behaviorally a dog, which we always say, oh, I want one that's friendly. Well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. One of the things I tell people is then start talking to me about what it is you want to do with your dog, because mm-hmm. then you're going to start seeing the behaviors you want. What do I want to do with my dog? I want to be able to go for a long evening walk with my dog, okay? Mm-hmm. I want to be able to, after we've had the walk, the dog will settle down and, you know, chew on something while I watch some TV. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be doing anything like, I don't really want to do agility or herding or fly ball or any of those things. I don't mind taking my dog for long walks or going out to the field and tossing a ball for him, but I don't want anything more structured than that. Well, then that's an important thing to note too.
Right. So we probably don't want a really active dog, because it's not unrealistic to say, I'd like to wake up later on the weekend than I wake up Monday to Friday. And a lot of dogs don't think that's a great idea at all. So depending on their energy level and attitude, some of it's lifestyle stuff. What does your lifestyle look like, and what are you envisioning this dog being involved in, or what are your plans for when the dog is not involved? So, you know, when you're envisioning life with your dog, what are you envisioning when guests come over? Is this dog hanging out in the room with you? Well, then that has some effects of, you know, we need a dog who's more social and a little bit more comfortable with change and variety. That kind of stuff. Thinking about how do we want to incorporate this dog into our lives, and really recognizing what your reality is versus what your aspirations are. Because, you know, my aspirations are that I'm going to be super fit and, you know, walk and do all sorts of great exercise and be on top of everything. And the reality is walk about 2 miles and then I would like to be home. There are dogs who need a little bit more than 2 miles. So those dogs aren't a good match for me. You know, my reality and my aspirations, we need to choose the dog based on our reality.
Right. And things like, I hate the water. I don't want to go to lakes. I don't want to go to ponds. Then don't get a dog that's really water motivated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the things I have found with most retrievers is like, it's you make their day when you take them to someplace that has a water feature, you know, mm-hmm. be it a pond or a creek or something like that. And if you really don't like wet dog smell and you really don't like being in the water, then that was should incorporate, you know, take into account some of the dogs that you may or may not want, because there are some dogs that just live to go in the water.
Right. And the flip side of that is, just because a dog is of a breed that might be prone to that doesn't mean they will like it. Because I had a Labrador who thought water was not very good. So we would go to the lake and he'd stand on the shore looking very sad when I would get too far from him. He was just like, you're going to drown and I'm going to be sad, but I'm not getting in there. There's nothing is going to make me get in there. And so if we're stereotyping your average Labrador, that's not the case. But that was the case for mine. You know, so really looking at, if you love the water, let's find a dog who loves the water. And if you love being really active and wanting to do things with your dog, you know, you're a jogger and you want a dog to jog with you, let's not get a dog with a snub nose. Probably not going to be a good jogging partner for you, because breathing-wise, they're not going to be compatible with that.
I rarely see pugs out jogging.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't work particularly well. Or bulldogs, for that matter.
Right.
Or the other thing is be realistic about how much time you actually have for the dog. If you're mm-hmm. working full time, what are we talking about here? How much time do you actually have? And so you might not find that a really active dog is a good one for you to have, because you simply don't have the time. Or when you get home from work, you don't want to devote the entire rest of the day to making sure that this active dog is busy. You may want to have the active dog on the weekend, But you have to think about the whole week, not just the weekend. Right. Not just Saturday. It can't just be a Saturday dog. It's got to be a 7 day of the week dog.
So, but one of my favorite phrases of yours is doggy ambiance. Some people like to have doggy ambiance, and I think that the way that interprets in my head is just that idea of I come home and there's a dog waiting for me, but not I come home and there's a dog waiting for me who shredded all the garbage because he was bored and he absolutely needs to get out for a walk because he has too much energy and he, you know, the needs are being met on my terms versus the dog's term is doggy ambiance. Like, I totally love having them and they enrich my life, but they're not driving my whole schedule. And some dogs are driving their family schedules. Great dogs. But if that's not what you want to do, you have to be really thinking about that dog. And again, it comes down to temperament and personality, not breed. And everybody wants that list of breeds. Several years ago, I was interviewed by Men's Health magazine, and they were pushing me and pushing me and pushing me for the best breeds for families. And I was doing no, and I'm telling them why, and you know, this whole article, and they get it. They're like, fine, I get it. You won't give us a list of best breeds. And the magazine comes out and there's a little box, the five best breeds for families that, you know, that I chose. And I was stunned to find out that I had chosen Portuguese water dogs as one of the best breeds for families. I was like, no, quite certain we, first off, never discussed Portuguese water dogs. And secondly, I'm not sure they'd be at my top five list of best breeds if I were stereotyping, but I won't do it. But it's amazing how often I'm really pressured for, you know, are beagles good with kids? Many of them are. Are golden retrievers good with kids? Many of them are. Are pit bulls good with kids? Many of them are. You know, it's not about breed. It's about the individual.
Right.
And that's so hard because it would be easier if we could, it would be so much easier if we could do it. I mean, honestly, like car shopping. I always compare it to car shopping, that if you want a Honda Accord, you know what you're getting. You're just choosing color. So you can just go in and go, that one's prettier. Great. Get the blue one. But when you're looking at two dogs and one is prettier, that's not an equal comparison.
No, it's not. And as I said, these two puppies were from the same litter and they were very, very different. And that is not atypical either. I think somebody will say to me, oh, what a great, when we got Hudson, our golden, and he was a delightful dog. Oh, what a great dog. Who's your breeder? Well, I would tell them who the breeder was, but I always added with a caveat. You know what? Not every dog is going to be like Hudson. Not every dog in Hudson's litter was like Hudson. She's not going to do exactly the same pairing. And even if she were to do exactly the same pairing, there's no guarantee that the dogs are going to turn out anything like. I mean, genetics are just not that predictable. And so I try to tell people that, if you want to go to a breeder, I've got a whole blog on how to choose an ethical breeder. There are ways to choose a breeder to make sure that you get a more fundamentally sound and even-tempered dog. But that's not a guarantee you're going to get exactly the dog that you want.
Right.
And it's...
That comes into play with the cloning argument, too. You know, like, oh, if we clone, well, and we've cloned genetic material, but behavior is a combination of three different things. It's your genetic material, your environment, and all of the aspects in your environment starting from in utero, from conception to this exact moment, and then your individual choices. So your behavior is a really complex soup of all of that. So even if we were to say, let's clone, you know, this dog is so amazing, let's clone this dog, we're not going to have the same dog.
No, and the argument can be made, too, for identical twins. That's cloning, and they are certainly have many similarities, but anybody who knows anything about twins or triplet or triplets, if you happen to have three of the same, anyway, they're not exactly the same because they don't have exactly the same experiences. They don't even have exactly the same experiences in utero.
Right.
So all those things are, you're right, component factors to creating who you are and who that dog is today.
I use the sibling analogy a lot with people when we talk about litters. You know, that we're sort of looking at a litter as if they're all the same because they have the same parents and same environment. And, you know, we're looking and saying like, oh, it's all the same. And it's really not. And then we say, well, what about you? Do you have siblings? Are you just like your siblings? Are you just the same as your siblings? And no one ever no. is like, yeah, I'm just like my siblings. And you're not. You're very, very different in so many ways because we're all shaped by the environment, the choices we make, and even the small differences in genetic material.
Right. You know, right. And the other thing is I think about going back to the example that I gave, is that you may have a litter that they don't even all look the same. And if they don't mm-hmm. look the same, what makes you think they're all going to behave the same? Because part right. of the way in which behavior is determined is, you know, what's the genetic factor? What genetics do you have going on? What's chemical influences is going on in it? And, you know, you just can't make that prediction. If everybody's not going to look, and even if they do all look the same, there are going to be subtle differences. And anytime there's subtle differences in looks, there's definitely going to be differences in right. personality.
And there's your personality as it is what it is. And it's great. We like you. You're terrific. So when you're finding a dog, we want to find a dog that matches right. your personality. And a number of years ago, I had this lovely client. I really liked this man. He was so nice. And he adopted two border collies. And he was like a big, gruff, blustery guy, you know, yeah. And his dogs were Megan and Morgan. I think I may have even mentioned them previously. Sometime I've talked about Megan and Morgan. And he would yell to them to come, like, Megan, come! And it was a little overwhelming to these soft border collies. They'd be like, oh, all right. And they did like him, but he scared them. And then they would get all the way to him, and he would be so proud of them for coming that he would beat them on the ribs as if they were Labradors or Rottweilers or Boxers or, you know, the dogs who really love some hard physical contact. And so these poor little border collies would just be like, and he's hitting me. But he was intending it nicely. It was just a bad match. A really nice man who totally loved his dogs, who had the wrong dogs for his family. It worked out fine. They lived together forever. But these dogs, they loved his wife more, and he never quite understood why. And it was so clear to everyone in the entire world why mm-hmm. Megan and Morgan were slightly more comfortable with his wife, because she was just a little less
intense
personality.
Yes.
Yeah. And so there's nothing wrong with who you are, but sometimes our matches aren't right. And that's what it comes down to. So finding the right dog for you is, I mean, your family has a personality of it, the unit, but each of us individually has personalities, and we need to find dogs that are really going to roll with our family mm-hmm. lifestyle and what we like to do and how we like to do it.
I think too, it is important then, if you're going to get a family dog, to sit down and everybody talk about, you know, if you had to name one personality trait or one activity for your dog that really means the most to you, have everybody put those down and find out how much you overlap, and can you have a dog that is going to come close to meeting the needs of the family?
Right.
That's the kind of personality you're going to be looking for.
Yes.
So,
we assure you that dog will be gorgeous and adorable, even if it has asymmetrical spots or a crooked tail or, you know, three legs, whatever. It's going to be so cute. You can hardly stand it once you've brought this dog into your family and made it your own.
That's right. Because personality trumps looks every single time.
Yeah.
Every time. There's not an exception to that rule. It just does. And you'll find is the dog that is scruffy looking but loves your kids is the dog that you're going to genuinely love too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's going to be a much better chance of success within your family and everybody being happy. So I think that wraps that up. Is there anything you want to do to summarize this, Colleen, other than personality no. trumps looks every single time?
I think that sums it up pretty well. But the way we can get there to find the right personality is to really have those honest questions about what does our lifestyle currently look like, and what would we really love for a dog in our lives to be like? You know, do you want to be really active with your dog? Do you want to be kind of just hanging out with your dog? What are you looking for? So that we can at least start that we're looking at the dogs that are more likely to meet your needs. Now, every dog needs training. But let's get our raw material headed in the right direction before we add on that layer of trying to train the perfection on there.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's great, Colleen. And we will see you next week. I think we just want to say, if you like us, please leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.
It's now called Apple Podcast. The official name is now Apple Podcast. So, but yes, leaving a review is really helpful. So anytime anyone could leave a review, it really matters more than you think. So if you would, we would be so appreciative.
All right. Great. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.